Welcome to the Toffee Blues Extra Show, your midweek extra source of all things Everton. We're back this week, and I'm with Paul again. Welcome, Paul.
Hiya, Tom, mate. Great to be back. Let's
it's
talk
good.
again.
Let's go again. How are you doing this week?
Okay, same old, same old. Still going on Footy Manager.
How's it going?
Oh, mate, I'm at the point now, you know, where you're reloading it.
Yeah.
Every time that wound up, I promised myself I wouldn't, but it's got so far stupid now. It's like so many stuff's happened on it where you think, no, I'm not having that. It's not on. Like the game's mugging me off here. Have you ever seen that gif that goes around on Twitter? I think it's a scene from the show Parks and Recreation.
Oh,
where the fella's like got his computer, and the next scene he just walks outside and he lashes it in the bin. That's what I feel. Just picking me computer up and going, get out now. Like, just smash everything. That's what happens though when you play Football Manager. What's happened in it is, I told you last time I got to the League Cup semi-final.
Yeah.
Well, I lost that typically to Man City. And then after that, I just went completely downhill on it. Like, my players just went into a hole. Like, I couldn't buy a win. I think I'm like 11 games out to win now. I've drew most of them. Like, I think I've drew 7, lost 4. But the games I've lost in, I've been like 4-3 with a score, the last minute goal. Like, a last minute goal that knocked me out the FA Cup as well to like Millwall, away at Millwall. I had another game against Wolves where it was 2-0 up and they scored twice in the second half to equalise. So you just think, gee, is like, does this game want me to turn it off? Oh my God, I thought this was meant to be fun. Like a week ago, I was telling Tom and everyone else who was asking me about it, like, oh, how's the new football manager? Just like, oh, it's great, you know, I'm loving it. And it's what I'm doing of a night when I'm not going out anywhere and I've got nothing else to do. I'm just sitting in and playing that. And look what happens, it's made me look absolutely stupid now. So I'm very, very close to just putting it in the drawer and not letting it gather dust.
That's terrible. You're thinking of switching back to FIFA?
I might do, you know, I bought the new FIFA and I played like 3 days on it non-stop and then just got fed up with it quite quick.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
I don't want to sound absolutely great here or nothing, but I just kept winning and I got bored. I mean, I might have been on amateur, but I didn't have the art to not solve the difficulty. So I wanted something more of a challenge and saves me light. Basically, I'll have to just go back to FIFA. Yeah. Maybe, but I'm probably going to play a bit of Red Dead Redemption. I bought that recently and I haven't had a go on it yet. So,
oh, yeah, that's meant to be decent.
Yeah. So when I'm not out having a drink, or I'm not in the gym trying to get a bit fitter, or I'm just not busy doing anything else, when I'm just sat in doing nothing, Football Manager was undisputed king. But now it's me and Football Manager fell out basically.
Oh, that's terrible! Come back to FIFA. We welcome you back. Get an ultimate team, get a little ultimate team going. Get on division rivals, a bit of squad battles. Like, that'll challenge you online. There's some terribly sweaty FIFA players online that'll give you a challenge, I'm sure. Right, so that's for today's segment anyway. We've got 3 segments for you to bring you today, and the first one is going to be in conclusion. Everton 1, Cardiff 0. It was a decent game in the weekend. We'll be talking about the game and what we thought of it. We'll be running the reel over it, and then second segment we'll be talking about whether Adam Ola-Loughman should start against Liverpool, where he come in, where he deserves to start the game, how he play, and how Everton will play in general in the game. And then third segment we'll be talking about danger men against Liverpool. We'll be highlighting Liverpool's danger men a little bit, but we won't be talking about that too much because we don't really want to, because we want to talk about Liverpool in a positive way. So we'll be trying to mainly focus on Everton's danger men and how we're going to harm them. Anyway, so that's the segments for today. In conclusion, Everton 1, Cardiff 0. It was a decent game on the weekend. It was scrappy at times, but we did show our quality. We had a lot of possession, and sometimes they were difficult to break down, but the quality shone through from some of our star players, especially the new signings, like Andre Gomez especially. It was a majestic performance from the midfielder. He really was brilliant. And then the other new signings were really impressed as well. Yerry Mina came in the defence again, and obviously kept his place in the defence and really impressed us again. Luca Dean was solid. Bernard, maybe not at his best, but it was all right because the others were playing well, so no worries about that. But yeah, it was a win, and we got some momentum now, taking to the Liverpool game. So what do you think of the game, Paul?
Yeah, I was there, and it was what it was. It was gritty. They came to just scrap, basically, didn't they? They didn't have any ambition, and I don't think we really expected them to have any ambition. They just came to get whatever they could get their hands on and get out of there. But I'm glad to see that it looked like we didn't run out of ideas at any point. I know Neil Warnock said we were before we got the goal, but I disagree with him. I never at any point in the day didn't think we weren't going to score. I thought we handled their approach very well. I think Silva probably knew what they were going to do, what Cardiff were going to use against us, and he prepared the players for that and probably worked on things all week. So it wasn't just a case of, for me anyway, I don't think the players just went out there and thought, oh, this is going to be easy, this. I thought they were really, looked like they were concentrating a lot, thinking, right, we planned for this all week. We knew this is what we were going to have to face. Let's just carry on what we did in training and the goals will come. So I thought it was overall, it was quite a good performance. I thought we played some lovely stuff. I mean, it wasn't our best of the season, definitely not, but I thought we were better in this game than we were against the likes of, you know, Southampton in that game a few months ago, and better than we were when we played, who did we play in the cup? Who we beat? Calvert-Lewin got two. I know it was a makeshift team, like, but
I'm not sure. Can't even think.
I know we won 3-1. I remember that. It was a game where Sigurdsson got the first one, and Calvert-Lewin got two. I can't remember who it was, but it was in the cup. And I felt this win was better than that win in the sense of, in terms of performance, the overall kind of feeling I got from it, and the Southampton win, and maybe even the Fulham win. I know the Fulham win had more goals; it was 3-0, but. Fulham game wasn't all easy. That was a really hard grind, and this was a grind, but kind of in a different way. Like, this game, we never felt in danger at any point. Or at least I never. I didn't at any point think, oh God, these are going to score here, or oh my God, if we're going to regret missing that chance. I didn't ever see them scoring.
Yeah,
I really didn't. I thought the players looked really, really comfortable, but looked really, really kind of on it as well at the same time. They weren't at the best. It wasn't champagne stuff. It wasn't lovely on the eye. But I don't really think the players looked like they were lacking anything, or looked lax in the sense that they kind of switched off at any point. I thought they battled to the end, and it was a good performance. Sometimes you need wins like that, especially when you're going into big games like we are next week. You need to get the 3 points on the board and keep the momentum up, no matter what way you can, no matter what way you win, as long as you win, that's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's not always going to be easy on the eye. Sometimes you just got to grind out results, and that's even the case for the bigger sides as well, like at the top of the league. And we're putting ourselves up there now with it. We got ourselves to the top six with that result, so that's a really it's definitely a massive positive that we've managed to out-muscle United as well. And we've got ourselves into the top six, but obviously there was little calls on Twitter about I think one television company put a little table saying, oh, this is the top five, and there was a bit of controversy on Twitter about that, but that's a bit ridiculous. But now we've got ourselves in the top six, and I think we've justified our place, to be fair. So we go into the Liverpool game, and we're gonna have a go. So it's first derby in a while I've looked forward to, but going back to the Cardiff game, I do think sometimes we were dilly-dallying around the box when we could have been taking our chances and being a little bit more direct and having a go. I thought that stood out to me a few times, and we just need to... It's in that final third. We sometimes lack the quality in the final third, so that's something we need to polish off if we're going to beat the big sides, like because we've got some obviously tough games coming up. But that's definitely something we need to polish off. But defensively, we played quite well. Obviously, Silva went with... to drop Zuma, he went with me and Keen. Did you think that was the right decision?
Yeah, in the end, I don't suppose you could drop Mina after how well he played against Chelsea, and Keane's playing absolutely brilliantly. So, as well as Zuma's done since he arrived, he's just going to have to wait for his chance now, the way Mina had to wait for his when he was on the bench for a few weeks. So, like I said, I like Keane. Keane's looking the type of player that we thought we were getting last summer. He looks every bit that £25 million leader. I think that's the right word. I know some people don't think he has that type of quality, don't really think he's that type of player, but I think he is. I saw him, you know, talking a bit at the back and trying to keep Mina from going over the top. Like, he looked like he tried to sort of settle Mina down a little bit when Mina was getting a bit... overexcited at times, you know what I mean? Getting a bit over enthusiastic when Mina was like charging forwards and, you know, getting a bit worked up. Keane kind of settled him back down a bit. And Mina, I liked as well. I think he how best to say it. I think he was a bit rash at times. Like yeah. I said, he went bombing forward more than once, didn't he? And you're thinking, yeah. Christ, we'd have lost the ball on the centre of the pitch there. We'd have been well exposed. You need to rein that in a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You take chances to get forward, but do it when we've got set pieces. Don't just carry the ball from your own half into their final third. You can't be doing that against Liverpool or the other top teams. But yeah, I overall thought defensively we were all right. They didn't have anything to hit us with, did they? We were a box without a punch. They just had that big lad,
Patterson,
jogging around.
Up top.
Patterson, yeah. They just had that fella just jogging around, and they trying to get his head on anything they could get. Just Pickford, I don't think. Pickford only made one save all game, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. It was a decent save as well, to be fair. It was after he got knocked out nearly as well by, I know the physio thought it was something serious at the time, but it was a nasty challenge that from, I think it was Kadeem Harris. But Cardiff, he just knocked into him and seemed to just completely change the direction of his body in the air. And it looked like a really horrible one, so good thing Pickford was all right after
yes.
that.
I was down the other end in the gladders, and I was holding my breath. I thought, ooh, that looks nasty, and oh God, please don't let him get injured. That's the last thing we need. Pickford getting injured and Stekelenburg coming in for a while. But yeah, thankfully he was all right. And overall, when your goalie is doing next to nothing the entire game, then you've got to imagine that it's been a good performance and a good day at the office when you've not really had to exert yourself at the back. So yeah, in conclusion, I thought it was a good win. Good's the right word. It was gritty. You had to dig in, but I think we saw some real positive qualities there. We saw we're a team that can be patient. We are a team that can take the golden chance when it comes, because we had other chances that we wasted as well, but that was the big chance. If we'd have missed that, then, oh God, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it was an open net, and the build-up play was good. So, yeah, good win. Another clean sheet, up to sixth. Going into the derby with loads of momentum and loads of positivity. And overall, to summarise, I don't see any reason why we can't stay top six now.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Like, permanently?
Look at the team. Pardon?
Permanently stay top six.
Yeah, between now and the end of the season, barring disaster striking, like we get some really terrible injuries to key players, or we just get absolutely screwed over in games, then I don't see why any of the teams below us can overtake us. United are an absolute shambles. Yeah. Short of them sacking Mourinho, which I don't personally see them doing that until the end of the season, at least. I think they'll go with them until the summer. But unless they make a massive change at United, I don't see any teams below us overtaking us. Like, would you pick Bournemouth to get above us anytime soon?
No. None of them. Neither Watford, Bournemouth, definitely.
None of them. No. And the rest of them don't even bear talking about, really, do they? So, yeah, I think really we should be looking up and we should be focused on trying to overhaul Arsenal in fifth. Honestly, I do. There's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't stay in the top six between now and the rest of the season, as long as we just keep all our main players fit.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be brilliant. What a fair season that would be for Marco Silva as well. That'd be quite a fair season. I know maybe not hitting the heights of Roberto Martinez as a fourth in his fair season, but no, Marco Silva sixth for the fair season, that would be quality. To muscle into the top six that's established themselves so firmly over the last couple of years, that would be a quality first year to out-muscle Manchester United, because I don't think just because they're Man United they don't deserve an automatic place in the top six. So hopefully
they do if you're Richard Scudamore. Do you know that Tory fat cat who's getting the massive payoff, do you know what he said a few years ago? No, remember when United were like as bad as they are now, really? When they were seventh under David Luiz, he outright came out and said that it's bad for the Premier League for Man United to not be in the top four. The top four needs United in the Premier League. The Premier League needs United in the top four. Just the way it should be. It's like, oh, mate, shut up. Terrible. Mate. Go. Do you know what I mean? I don't care what they've won in over the last 20 years. No club has a divine right to finish anywhere in the league.
Yeah.
So just clearly a money man. Do you know what I mean? I don't care about supporters. I don't care about the efforts of the player on the pitch. I don't care who the managers are. These clubs are just the massive businesses. These massive businesses deserve all the best prizes.
Yeah.
So go away. No team has a divine right to finish anywhere. And as you said, I don't see any reason why United should be overhauling us. Unless they change their manager, which I've said I don't really see them doing. Unless something absolutely dramatic happens and they completely turn it around. they should not be overhauling us. Yeah. They've got might have good players on paper, but it's not clicking at all. And none of the other teams, as we mentioned, Bournemouth, Watford, Burnley, Leicester, they're not a patch on us, mate, when we get going. We've shown in a few weeks that they're nowhere near as good as we are.
Yeah.
Those teams.
Everton to finish six, you hear to hear first. Get a bet on it, stick a tenner on it. It's on us. There you go. You've got it. There's a tip. So that's our in conclusion, Cardiff anyway. Whether he deserves to start against Liverpool at the weekend. We spoke last week and we said, what more has he got to do to get into the starting lineup kind of thing? He's taken all of his chances off the bench. He's stood out in his cameo performances. He played very well in the friendly against Gorma Hire. There's not much more he could do to get a place in that team. He's definitely wanted this place. So do we think he's going to come in against Liverpool? Because obviously he impressed off the bench again against Cardiff. There was a nice little move later on, I think, wasn't there, when he wriggled through a few more players and nearly got a goal, but he wasn't able to find a way past Neil Etheridge. But it was definitely a positive performance off the bench again. And whether he deserves a start or not, though, what do you think?
Do I think he deserves a start, or would I start him? Would I start him?
Yeah.
Against Liverpool at Anfield?
Yeah.
In place of Walcott for this game? My answer's no. I mean, a lot of people might not agree with that, but I'll tell you why I'd start Walcott, because we've been saying it for a few weeks now, haven't we? Everyone's been saying it. Walcott's not had the best of time. I mean, he's not been awful in any single game. He hasn't had a performance that I'd put below 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
I think he's just been a bit off colour. He's just out of form. But what you do with players who are out of form, you either drop them quite quickly after the first few games, or you stick with them and let them play themselves back into form. And it looks like Silva's doing the latter. He wants to try and play him back into form. And one of the things that I think Walcott's going for him, and one of the main reasons I would put him in this game against Liverpool, is he does have experience. I know a lot of people say, oh, Luckman's young, he's fresh, he's got nothing to fear, he's got it all to prove. But these type of games, you are going to need players who are going to just keep their heads in the frying pan. Do you know what I mean? When it gets hot and it gets tense, and a lot of people are maybe running around and flying rash tackles in, or trying to do mad bits of skill, or just trying to impress the cameras, I think you just need people to just do the basics well.
Yeah.
Because so many times in big games like this where we've lost or we've screwed ourselves, because good players just can't do the basics.
Yeah.
They can't get their heads together. They can't stay calm. And I think Walcott has got enough experience in his career to handle a situation like that. He's played in a lot of North London derbies. He's played Champions League games in, you know, hotbed countries over in like Eastern Europe, things like that. And one thing I would say is, I think this is the perfect opportunity for a player like him who maybe has critics to silence. This, can you think of a better way for him to kind of shut up his doubters type thing than to play really, really well or score against Liverpool, Anfield?
Yeah, like this last game anyway against Cardiff, he had some good chances. So if he could get one of them in the back of the net against Liverpool, that'd surely send them on his way.
Exactly, yeah. And same with someone like Bernard on the other side. If I was Marco Silva, I'd turn around and I'd say to Walcott, particularly, I'd say, right, you've got Luckman there who's right behind you. He's probably at the right to start in front of you now. You've got one last chance against Liverpool, the biggest game of the season, so far, anyway.
Yeah.
So of all the games that you've not played particularly well in, it will all be forgotten if you play well in this game. Here's your chance. Go out on Liverpool, and it's shit or bust, basically, for you. You need to go out there and you need to really, really grab the game by the scruff of the neck and impress people, or you've run out of chances, basically. If you don't play well in this game, then I'm going to have to drop you, and you can have absolutely no arguments because you've had enough chances. So And I think Walcott's a type of player as well, where I think he'd rise to that type of challenge. Yeah. Really do. I don't really think he's the type of to kind of, when things are going bad for him, he doesn't just drop his head and sulk or feel sorry for himself like some players do. I think he's the type of person who's strong enough to stand up to the scrutiny, and he'll think, right, everyone's doubting me. I'm gonna go out and get them all back on side again. I think he's that type of upbeat personality. So I'd stick with Walcott for this one. I really would. I think he'll know that he's got something to prove. And I think this will be the perfect opportunity, the perfect type of game as well, is when he's going at their defence. A young lad like, who do they play on the left? And it's not Alexander-Arnold. He's on the right, isn't he? Who plays left?
Andy Robertson.
Yeah, go on. We're going to need someone like Walcott to just give Andy Robertson an absolute nightmare. Luckman could do that, but I said that before, Luckman's young. He could try and do too much at times. And Robinson's an underrated player. I've got a nasty feeling that Robertson would kind of find a way to mark Luckman out the game if Luckman tried to be a bit too fancy. So Luckman deserves to come in and get his chance, but I definitely think that there's definitely a merit in giving Theo Walcott one big opportunity to win everyone back around and show everyone what a great player he is, and he's just got the experience for me. So I want to see Walcott start in this one.
Yeah, definitely. What about on the left then? Would you? Because it's an option. It's perhaps less of an option than obviously for World Cup, but it is an option to bring him in on the left for Bernard. Would you consider that at all?
Maybe. But again, I think Bernard's got a lot of the same. The same things going for him that Walcott has. He's got big game experience. He's played in some derbies before, some fierce derbies over in Ukraine, and he's played in some big World Cup games for Brazil. It's just that sort of mentality they've got where they think, right, this is not going to faze me. I don't care whose tape I'm on. I'm just going to be me type thing. I'm not going to go up my way to try and do too much. I'm not going to just take it easy and play the simple passes and just look to keep out of trouble. I'd stick with Bernard and Walcott, but I do know what you're saying. You want to give Luckman his chance, and he's earned his chance, and you want to squeeze him in somewhere. But for this game, personally, I would stick with Bernard and Walcott, and say to both of them, Walcott even more so than Bernard, right, here's your chance. You've got to do something in this game. These fans will absolutely love you and forget. And all that stick you've been getting over the last few weeks, that will just vanish. It will all go away and it will all be forgotten if you just turn up and do something in this one game. This one game is more to the fans, at least, maybe, not in the wider, in the wider context of how the season's going to go and the league standings and things like that. But in the fans' minds, this game against Liverpool at Anfield is more important than Cardiff at home, Brighton at home, Chelsea away. It's more important than all of them put together to most fans, because there's that much emotion involved in the game. Just go out there, and if you're a hero in this, all you've got to do is just play well in this game and you'll be a hero for forevermore. All your poor performances from 3 weeks ago, they won't matter.
Yeah.
So
this is a chance to end the season.
Yeah, exactly. Him and Bernard and other players as well. I'd stick with Bernard and Theo on the left, on the right, respectively. Even though I do definitely see where people are coming from when they say Luckman deserves his chance.
Yeah. What about the super sub then? Would you bring him on as an impact sub off the bench?
Yeah, I would. He did well last time, didn't he? Back last January. Yeah. Was that his last game before the gravy man set him out on loan?
Yeah, I think it was.
He came on at Anfield and he completely changed the game, didn't he? Liverpool, he was clearly like a wild card, wasn't he? Liverpool didn't know much about him. Their defenders didn't know how to mark him, didn't know how to handle him. And he came on and he was probably the main reason we even got back in that game, because I remember we 1-0 down when he came on and we ended up equalising, and then
yes.
I know we heartbreakingly we lost it in the end, but that was probably the best Anfield performance we put in for many, many a year, and he was one of the main reasons for it. So yeah, I definitely see merit for using him as a super sub and bringing him on if the game is deadlocked or if we're chasing an equaliser. I definitely want to see him come on then and get 20 minutes. Definitely, I wouldn't just leave him on the bench and not use him, short of us being, we can dream, can't we, if we're 3-0 up. Do you know what I mean? And, and I don't know, Walcott scored an hat-trick or something, and there's no reason to take him off. And, but yeah, I would definitely bring Luckman on at some point, but I wouldn't start him in this one.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure this game as well, so if he was going to throw him in for this game, it would maybe like You want to put him in a game where he's going to really hit the ground running from the start, and this is one way you want to keep the team the same maybe, and you want to have that consistency that we've had the last couple of games, and taking the same team into the game when they're gelling, the understanding to each other's games, and I think Luckman coming into this one, maybe it might be best leaving him for another week or so. Even as much as I love him, as much as I'd love to see him in from the start, I do think maybe not this game, but hopefully soon. For Luckman anyway. So that's what we think about the Luckman.
Yeah, sorry, just let me ask you, because I know I was talking with a lad in Ware today. Would you start Tosin? Because I know he's not been in the goals recently, and I know he fluffed his lines in the last game against Cardiff down at the Gladys Street end. He had an easy chance that he should have buried, and he made a complete mess of it. But again, he's another player who's got a lot of experience in sort of, you know, big, crazy atmosphere games, derby like over games, in really? Yeah, derby games, just games where you know that all the players know there's a lot of emotion and a lot riding on that, on the result type of thing. I think there's an argument for that, and maybe putting the Charleston back out on the left, maybe.
And bring a Bernard off the game.
Pardon?
Bring a Bernard off for a game, yeah.
And I know I just stuck up with Bernard a minute ago, but I can definitely see an argument for putting Tosin there as well, because he'll put himself about, won't he? He'll keep Van Dijk occupied, whereas Richarlison, for his how skillful he is and how quick he is, again, if you've got Van Dijk gets reading of him very early, you can imagine Richarlison kind of just being marked out the game, maybe, type of thing. If Van Dijk gets hold of him quick and roughs him up a little bit, and Richarlison kind of feels like he's being stifled, then I'm not really sure what we do. Whereas I think Tosin, if Tosin got roughed up a bit, Tosin would give it back, yeah, type thing, and that would suit us in a game like that. Tosin's not afraid to kind of puff his chest out and go and say, right, if you want it, then let's have it.
Yeah,
I think Richarlison's got that type of personality too, but he's just a different mould of player. If you're going to foul him and things like that, and if he doesn't get his free kicks and things like that, which I don't imagine he will, because it's Anfield and we never get anything, we're never going to get no protection. I can just see Richarlison being kind of maybe targeted a little bit by experienced centre-halves they've got, and maybe marked out the game completely. Hopefully not. I'd love it if he just absolutely made a show of their defence, but it's just something you've got to think about. And again, Tosin, he might get marked out the game as well, but at least you'll know he's there. I think he can hold the ball up, because that's what I was trying to say, basically.
Yeah.
We're going to need someone to hold the ball up in their half.
Yeah.
Because as good as they are going forward, we are going to have to keep the ball high up the pitch. And I think Tosin is far better at that than Richarlison is. If we were going to go all guns blazing and just look to put goals past them, then yeah, you go to Richarlison. But if we're going to win this derby, I don't think that's how we're going to win it. We're going to win this derby by just outgritting them, type thing, and digging down deep and making the most of our chances when we get them. So I can see an argument for Tosin. What do you think? Would you throw Tosin in, or do you think Richarlison's probably the best bet?
I'd keep it the same, to be honest. I think if Richarlison does get it off Van Dijk, I can see him giving it back. I can just see him, like, I think he'd be well up for it. Like, obviously, with some of the young new players, there might be a danger of them like going too much into it, as we've seen plenty of times in the past, and getting sent off. But Richarlison will be well up for it. Hopefully he won't lose his head. But I can see him trying to give it back as well and get, kind of holding his own. But I see a point it did in the hold-up play of Tosin. It's definitely something to think about. But personally, I'd keep it the same. As I say, while all the players are learning each other's games, I'd keep it the same personally. But yeah, if you were Marco Silva, would you put Tosin in? Yeah.
I'd be tempted. Because, as what I said then, because we are going to need to keep the ball in their half. We can't hit them on the break.
Yeah.
As much as I'd love to do that,
yeah,
it's not. Because they, apart from City, they're probably the best team in the league for hitting people on the break. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, one of the fastest.
Yeah, so any goal I think we're going to get has to be something that's built up to. Do you know what I mean? We're just going to have to get the ball in their box, knock it around a bit, and just take our chance when it comes. It's not going to be a quick passage of play if we get a goal. At least I don't foresee that. So I would probably stick with Richarlison, as you said. I think you did make a good point. He does seem like he's got a chip on his shoulder, but the right type of chip on his shoulder. He's not going to just fold and go into his own head if they give him a bit of a dog's life. I meant more in the sense that he might get frustrated and he might lash out, yeah, or he might end up coming deeper to get the ball because he's not getting any service, and that might be counterproductive. But Hopefully not. Hopefully him and Silver are well on it. Silver's told him exactly what he wants him to do, and they're training for it all week, and he's able to get in behind them, which Tosin wouldn't be able to do if he were playing. So, yeah I go with Charleston, but I do think a case can be made for Tosin personally.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I think about. Marco Silver, there you go. There's a potential headache for you if there wasn't one already. But there you go. There's one to think about. But that concludes our segment anyway for today. We're going to what we think of how we're going to line up against Liverpool, and most importantly, Adam Ola Luckman, whether he's going to start against Liverpool. To talk about who we think Liverpool's danger men are briefly, but more importantly, who Everton's danger men are, and how we're going to break them down, and how we're going to win the match, because we're going to win the derby at Anfield, we're telling you. But now we're going to talk about where the threat's going to come from anyway, and how to break them down, and what we think their threat is as well. So in terms of danger men from Liverpool, it's obvious like there's quite a few. There's obviously the team of star players, really. It's not to took up to them too much, but obviously they've got the quality, but we've got to deal with that. Would you pick out one in particular, Paul, or would you just say generally Liverpool's attack and threat in general?
Just Liverpool's attack and threat in general, mate. I'm not going to bore people to death spending 10 minutes sat here saying, oh, Salah can do this and Salah's great and we need to watch out for Firmino, and oh god, we've got to watch Mane. Everyone knows how good their attack is.
Yeah.
Simple as that. They've probably got the best attack, pure attack in the league. City run them close, but I think I'd edge to Liverpool because they've just got so much pace. Do you know what I mean? They're so devastating. They cut in. They score all types of goals. They score worldies. They score tap-ins. They score headers. They score scruffy penalty box scrambles. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's just absolutely... But near unstoppable. It's not. I've seen a few teams manage to kind of defend against them properly and keep them all quiet. It's not rare that we see it. It is rare that we see it, not often, that we see that a team manage to stifle all three of their attacking threats nowadays. But we're going to have to give it a go, mate. We're going to have to really, really train hard. And after what I saw last season when we had Cuckoo Martin on the left, trying to mark Salah, the only way is up, surely, when it comes to stopping their attacks and handling our back line, keeping its head. Because when you go from big fat messes like Ashley Williams and big like borderline joke footballers like Martina to, you know, World Cup heroes like Mina and England internationals like Keane and players like Zouma who've got a lot of seasoning and look like they're going to be great players in the future, our defence is basically what I'm saying is our defence is so much better than it is last year than we've... You can only imagine we're going to be able to handle it better this year, no matter how good they are.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I was just going to say, if the player who concerns me the most they've got, I don't want to wax lyrical about any of their players. I'm not in the business of doing that. But the player who I'd watch out the most for is Mane, because he's a bloody good player. He's an absolute bastard of a player. He's so well against us.
Yeah.
All the time. I don't think I've ever seen him play badly against us, even when he played for Southampton. So, yeah, all their players, you've got to watch for all of them, but the one player I really, really don't want to see score against us is that fella Mane.
Yeah, obviously he's up against Seamus Coleman as well, so in terms of pace, he'll be difficult to deal with, but hopefully Seamus will be able to put some shackles on him and hold him down, because he is obviously a tricky customer along with the others, and obviously they've got Salah on the right as well, and he's not hit the heights that he did last year, but he's gonna be a threat as always. He's got the quality, but I'm sure Luca Dean can have him in his back pocket. But I think obviously they've got Shaqiri, who's been playing in a bit of a free role recently as well in the midfield. So he's gonna be one to keep shackles on as well, because he's kind of the link up man and makes things happen in attacking midfield and feeds it to the forwards. So he's a
that fat little idiot. I don't care saying this, mate. If there's going to be a full-blooded challenge goes in where someone goes down on the floor crying, I pray to God it's him. You know, he really, really annoys me, that fella. And he annoyed me at Stoke as well. It's just, mate, who do you think you are, genuinely?
Yeah.
He's looked at getting a club at Liverpool. I don't know why they threw him a bone. I know he's playing well and he started good, but players like that, mate, they don't deserve to play for Champions League clubs that are as good as Liverpool. Whether you like Liverpool or don't, they shouldn't have signed him, mate, out of principle, in my opinion, because he's an idiot and he's going to come back and bite them on the hand. He's going to cost them eventually because he's that much of just a little flute. Do you know what I mean? I really don't like the fella, and honest to God, if there's some argy-bargy, then I hope to God he's at the centre of it and that someone just gets a sly punch in on him. So I really don't like that.
Really, yeah.
Really, really bugs me, the fat little goblin.
If there's one Liverpool player you hate the most, then it'd be Shaqiri.
I don't really like any. It's the Evertonian in me, mate. I don't like any Liverpool players just by default, and I'm not going to sit here and talk about how brilliant they are, even if it's the case. Just if there's one player who I don't mind talking about because I want to just slag him off, it's him.
Yeah.
Because I was so shocked when he got a move to Liverpool. I thought, what are they doing signing him? And I know he's a good player and he's justifying the move so far because he's played so well, but he's an absolute idiot of a fella.
Yeah.
It's just thinks he's something he's not. He's just Kevin Morales all over me. Same attitude. I'm the big I am me. As if walking around that Liverpool team like he's always belonged there. Yeah. Like, mate, a year ago, you were one of the main reasons Stoke got relegated because your fat little ass couldn't be bothered putting in a shift and repaying those fans who made you their hero. Yeah. Stoke brought you to the Premier League, and you just, my opinion, practically down tools on them.
Yeah.
Even as some of his own former teammates have said that.
Yeah.
Butland said it. Mm. Not him. Yeah, name names, but you know blatantly who he was talking about in the summer when he did an interview saying, I'm so heartbroken, Stoke, I've gone down. So many players who were here have just left the club without a care. They weren't bothered one bit about fighting. And he's just it, completely. Just players like that but really, really bother me. And I really, really, really... If he can't get... If someone can't hit him or foul him and get away with it, then I wanted to see him have the worst game ever where all the fans are just abusing him afterwards, saying how terrible he was because he deserves it.
Yeah, have you seen what he come up with? I think it was today or yesterday. Obviously, I'm speaking a couple of days early.
That kiss ass one line he's got about how fan asked him to sign, and he went no. It's like, what's it? How do you say his first name?
Jerdan.
Whatever. It's like he never Shaqiri, mate. He never Jerdan. Shut up. Stop trying to kiss ass. Stop trying to get likes off Liverpool fans in the Philippines. Be quiet. If you're gonna talk, then let your football on the pitch do the talking. Shut up, mate, with your mind games or whatever it is you're trying to do, because no one's interested.
Yeah, definitely. He's a little idiot, and Gunner's gonna put him on his ass. Basically, that's what we think, anyways. But in terms of Everton danger men, then who would you pick out?
The player who I really think could make or break us, winning or losing.
Yeah.
There's a few, but if I could only go for one, I'll go back to Walcott.
Yeah.
Honestly, because the game's there for him. This is the perfect stage for him, as I was saying earlier on. The stage is perfect for him to come in and just completely win everyone back around again and score a goal or set one up or just rip their defenders to bits. If he can't do it in this game, then I don't think any argument can be made for him whatsoever for staying in the team. Because if he doesn't play well in this, then he won't have played well when we play crap teams at home, like Cardiff. He won't have played well when we play great teams away from home in a massive one like Chelsea or Liverpool. And he won't have played well when we play the middle of the pack teams like Brighton and Fulham and teams like that.
Yeah.
So, really, if Walcott plays really well in this, then I can definitely see us getting a good result. Him and Bernard and all players who've kind of been sort of on the fringes recently in terms of the performances. Like, they haven't been bad, they haven't been good, they've just kind of faded to the background a little bit and let other people get all the plaudits. If players like that turn it on, then I think we are in a really, really good shout of getting something from this game, maybe even all three.
Yeah, definitely it's time for them to step up. It's their big chance. Yeah.
They've both got quality, Bernard and Walcott. They've both got quality, and Walcott has done well against Liverpool before. I think he scored a fair few goals in his career against them.
Yeah.
And as I said earlier on, I think at that Andy Robertson they've got at left back is a good player, an underrated player, but Walcott at his best should be too much for him to handle. He really should be. If you think he's brilliant or if you think he's not brilliant, he's still, at the very least, a very, very good footballer who belongs in a top six side.
Yeah.
I really think he is, and it's time that he reminded everyone of that and showed that he's still that person we signed a year ago who everyone was in love with.
Yeah, definitely. We are that top six side that he's gonna blossom in, hopefully, and he's gonna come back. He's gonna play into his form again, and he's gonna find it, and he's gonna be brilliant. Hopefully, obviously, that team will pull him along and make sure he returns to his best as soon as possible. If I was gonna pick a danger man for Everton, I'm gonna go with Andre Gomes because he played so well against Cardiff. He's really coming into his own. He came in with so much expectation as well. He came in at a point where obviously he'd been on for a while. The midfield wasn't certain. Obviously, we had people floating in and out like Schneidlin. Tom Davis was getting a bit of a chance and struggling at times. But Andre Gomes has come in with everyone expecting him to be some majestic midfielder because he's a good-looking fella. Everyone just thought, oh my God, he's going to be brilliant. And to be fair, he has. He has been brilliant. And
I was going to say he's been worth the wait, wasn't he? There was a lot of anticipation around him, thinking, oh God, when can we get this fella on the pitch? I want to see what he's all about, and he's more than fulfilled people's fantasies, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. We were kind of wondering which Andre Gomes we were going to see. We were going to see the pre-Barcelona or the Barcelona Andre Gomes, and we've definitely seen the pre-Barcelona Andre Gomes, and he's really found, if not even better than he was at his former clubs, and he's really coming to his own. He's coming to his some really good form recently, and hopefully carry that into the Liverpool game. And as we were talking about before we started recording as well, we said if we're going to win this game against Liverpool, it's probably going to be in the midfield. So that's the key area, because obviously we know the strength of Liverpool's attacking trio, and they have a decent defence now. Obviously they didn't last year when they have that clown Lovren in there, but Joe Gomez and Van Dijk have got a decent little partnership, and the full-backs, Trent and Andy Robertson, are decent little full-backs. But the midfield, I do think Everton have a better midfield than Liverpool, genuinely. I do think Gana, Gomez and Sigurdsson, I think they're better than the Liverpool's midfield players, personally. But so I do think that's where we're going to win the game as well, from a tactical point of view as well, and the point of the game that we're gonna have to win the battles in is going to be the midfield.
Yeah.
But I just think that's where we're going to shine through and get the ball to Gomez, and so we can just spray it out like he has been, even go on a few dribbles and take it past there. The likes of Fabinho, who's going to be hopefully all over the place, and Wijnaldum. Definitely, I do think we've got the quality there, and he can just shine through and really have the game of his life if that wasn't Cardiff anyway, and carry his form into Liverpool, and I do think he can definitely be a threat against Liverpool. So he's my danger man against Liverpool anyway. But I don't know, it's going to be a difficult game. If we're going to go for score predictions, what would you say?
You know what, I think it'll be 2-2.
2-2.
So, yeah, I mean, as much as I'd love to pick us to win, I think they are just so good a side. You can't confidently predict us to go away to a team that good and pick us to win.
Yeah.
Not at this point, anyway. We are getting better, but we're not as good as we were hoping to be just yet. We haven't reached our full potential, nowhere near it, in my opinion. But saying that, I think we are playing well enough where I don't fear going to any team in this league at any ground and thinking that we're going to get spanked. I just don't see it. I wouldn't go to the Etihad to play City and think, no, we're going to get absolutely destroyed here today.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think we're too good a side to get absolutely torn to shreds.
Yeah.
So I'm confident that we'll go there. That we are growing under this new manager. We've learned a few new tricks, and we're going to go there and grind out a deserved point. It's not going to be the same as last season where we just go there and we're just sat on our 6 yard in our 18 yard box and we don't. We haven't even got a single player in the opposition half, and we're just basically trying to get out there alive and rob anything we can. It's not going to be that type of game. We're going to go there, we're going to pop our chests out, we're going to stand toe to toe to them for the most part, and we're going to earn a share of the spoils more than earn our share of the spoils. We're going to go there and prove that we are a good team, and we are a team that Liverpool can't just expect to roll over anymore. We're not that same Everton that just goes there and gets our bellies tickled. We're a bloody good Everton, and this bloody good Everton is here to stay, and they better get used to it. Yeah. So I'm going to go for a 2-2, personally.
Interesting, yeah, that's a good one. Hopefully we'll be able to get two goals past them, because they've been quite defensively resolute this season. But I'd love to see us put two goals past them. But I can see a 1-1, but hopefully we'll get a late goal. I can see us getting a late goal. And do you know what? I'm going to go for a 2-1 win. I can see it being 1-1 for the majority of the match. And then I'd love to see us get a sneaky winner for the first win at Anfield for, what, 19 years. And imagine it. And if there was one man to do it as well, I'd love it to be Yerry Mina.
Mina, wouldn't it? Just go to some pitch invasion. Pitch invasion by all the Evertonians. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'd just memorable scenes again with that fella like throwing his whatever they were his what do you call it? His crutches up in the air. Do you know what I mean? Just absolute limbs in the Everton end. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's our view anyway. That's our segment sorted for the Danger Men against Liverpool away. So that wraps it up for today's show. Thanks a lot for listening to the Toffee Blues podcast, Toffee Blues Extra Show. Thanks a lot for listening. Looking forward to the game. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on the Toffee Blues on Acast. And hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Nice, mate.
And we'll see you next time on the Toffee Blues.